Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is my friend Bill Samuel, the founder of Effective New York, and he's going to talk about the importance of a constitutional convention in New York State. So, Bill, give us a background of, you know, what the constitutional convention is.
Well, when the Republic was formed, Thomas Jefferson made a famous quote that basically said, it's up to the people to, as times change and new technologies and issues come up, to take a step back and once in a while look at the Constitution and amend it. And that certainly on the national level happened many, many times. In New York State, in the Constitution today, every 20 years, it asks the voters, is it time for us to have a people's convention, or what is called a constitutional convention, and discuss whether there are improvements in how the state is governed. That is on the ballot in November of 2017, and it's an opportunity for people to say, are we fed up with Albany? Are there new ideas that we want to put in the Constitution that can improve our state?
You know, you as well as many other people know that the sentiment is that people are fed up with Albany. So how are you going to get the message out?
It starts with having discussions, Cynthia, like you are offering me to have today on your show. Once the new year comes, I think you'll see a lot of editorial support for it, because no matter what we do vis-a-vis ending corruption in Albany, nothing changes up there. And there are many ideas like term limits that we could, through a constitutional convention, pass, because we can take the power away from the legislature and put it in the people's hands at the people's convention.
Now, you say people's convention. Let's say it does pass. Who decides who are going to be the delegates to the people's convention?
That's why I call it the people's convention. The people decide. In every state senate district, three delegates are elected. You could run. And what we want to encourage is that if it passes in 2017, that we get people to run to be delegates to the convention. And it's a great opportunity to get people involved in their community to think about what they would like to change. And it could be, when we can discuss later, how education is approached. It could be, as I mentioned, term limits. It could have to do with these unfunded mandates that put huge burdens on our county government. There are many, many issues that the Constitutional Convention gives an opportunity for all of us to decide, not the legislature to decide, how we can improve our government.
That sounds pretty interesting. So you've been interested in the Constitutional Convention for many years. I believe your father was involved in the Constitutional Convention. Is that correct?
Yes. In 1966, Governor Rockefeller put forward an amendment in the legislature to have a Constitutional Convention even earlier than the 20-year required vote. And Rockefeller formed a commission that was funded by the government to study and plan for that convention, develop issues that would educate the public. My father, a Democrat, though he was fond of Rockefeller, formed a committee, a Citizens Committee for an Effective Constitution that was bipartisan, and went around the state to develop support for it. When I use the term Effective New York, for our reform organization, it's because my father called his committee a citizens committee for an effective constitution, and it's a way of me both honoring him but also stating our goal, which is we want an effective government. And by the way, the people voted for the Constitutional Convention. It was held in 1967 and had many fascinating articles, though it ultimately was not passed by the people because of something called the Blaine Amendment. It was a very good convention overall.
Now, that was in 67.
Correct.
There has not been one since, correct?
There was one vote since. Mario Cuomo favored a people's convention. He, too, like Rockefeller, formed a committee. But the voters decided that they were satisfied with our government in Albany and therefore voted not to have one. And this is the first opportunity since that vote.
So 20 years ago it was brought up for a vote. And I'm sure you were aware of the Constitutional Convention then. When it didn't pass for you...
But it didn't pass then, and I think this time it's got an opportunity to pass.
Okay, tell us exactly what Governor Cuomo has been doing. He allocated funds and then he took it away to promote a constitutional convention.
Well, I've been very disappointed. In 2010, when Andrew Cuomo was running for governor the first time, he, in his policy book, said he favored a constitutional convention in 2010. And, in fact, in private meetings that I had, he was enthusiastic about it. He continues to voice support for it verbally. But like many things the governor does, he says one thing and does a different thing. I believe Governor Cuomo is very satisfied. His small circle of three men in the room, and though he says he's for it, really doesn't want to cede power to the people versus to the legislature. And that's been demonstrated by, in his budget, he put only $1 million in it for planning, which in of itself is not sufficient. But then when the budget came to be passed, the $1 million isn't there. I mean, and then he blamed the legislature, which is ridiculous. Governor Cuomo and a $155 billion budget can't include $1 million. So we have to pressure the governor and say, Governor, you say you're for a people's convention. Find the money to support and plan for it. Let's see what he does, but I'm very disappointed in him.
And so if the money does not come from the governor or from the state, can you raise private funds in the private sector?
It's hard to do. We just have to go, each of us, make an effort to do our small thing and get it passed, work with editorial boards. It really should be funded by the governor, and he may fund it. He may fund it. He's got till the end of June, and I say 50-50, but with the pressure being put on him, he will provide funds.
Well, I hope you're correct. So what are some of the issues that will be addressed at the convention, if there is one?
Well, let me give you two. One's very important. Most people don't realize that our educational system in the state is controlled by the current educational amendment that's in the Constitution. That amendment was written in 1894 when Governor Pettibone Flower was our governor, a Democrat from Watertown. We have not updated, despite all the changes in our country, the educational portion of our Constitution. As a result, all of the court decisions have had to look at that Amendment and see what it means. Very good courts have ruled, shockingly, that the 1894 Amendment in our Constitution does not require even equal funding per student in our schools outside of New York City. Shocking. Why did they rule that way? In 1894, the sentiment was that local people, through their property taxes, should pay for education. Well, what's that result? If you live in a rich neighborhood in Scarsdale or Long Island, there's a lot of money for education. If you live in Fulton County or Herkimer, and I'm from upstate, the property's not as valuable. So as a result of not updating our Constitution, there is, on average, $8,000 difference between the funding schools that live in poor upstate counties versus those that live in rich neighborhoods outside of New York City. Shocking. So there is an example where we need a debate to have a new educational amendment. I say that amendment should be fairly simple. It should say that there is a requirement at a minimum that every student in every school district get equal funding so they can have the same type of music and art and advanced placement courses, and that where there are deficiencies in outcomes, because we are interested in outcomes, the state has a responsibility to provide wraparound services or correct or to take corrective action where the result is not working. Now, others may have other ideas on how to upgrade our educational system. But if you don't change the Constitution, we're saddled with inequality.
What about ethics reform? Since it's
clearly you could require campaign finance reform of some type. It doesn't have to be paid for by the voters and the taxpayers. It could come from all these new casinos that are going to make billions of dollars as part of the licensing formula. It could be done. We could require, now this one is way out there, but I happen to believe it, that it is not legal for politicians to ask people for money. Now you say, no, that's absurd. Well, I got to tell you, around the country in judges' races that are elected, there is legislation in many states that don't let judges solicit money directly or at events. And in fact, and there are certain state legislators that don't allow fundraising during the session, which is unseemly that people in Albany walk across the hall from the chamber and meet with lobbyists and ask them for money. So there's a whole series of things, some of which are absolutely necessary, like education. Some are creative, probably won't happen, but could get debated, like what I just discussed.
Now, if there is one, where would it be held? Would it be held in Albany?
Yes, it's normally held in Albany. It usually takes at least six. That's why you need preparation, because you will have, 160, 170 delegates, and It's usually a six-month process, but there's no time frame on it. But the goal is that let's say the convention comes up with 40 changes. Those changes have to go to the public. In 67, the mistake they made was they put them all together, and you had to either say yes or no on all of them. And there was a bad one in there, and it got defeated. Or you could break it into packages. Education would be a separate amendment from, let's say, ethics reform. And the voters say yes or no. One reason we should have the courage to have a people's convention, all it means is that there's an opportunity to debate new ideas. But the public can still turn down the results. So why not give it a shot? Anything's better than what we have today, right, Cynthia?
This is true. But that leads into my next question. you said there's going to be 3 people from every state senate district. Then who's to say that they won't all be newspaper people who are in cahoots with the politicians and the politicians and labor leaders, and the average person will be frozen out of the process?
Well, then the average people have to step up. The voters will have a choice in their communities. There are a lot of good legislators. Some of them, if they run for office and win, if their local district wants them as the representative, that's fine. But in 1966, about 30% of the delegates were legislators, but judges ran, academics ran, and it was a pretty outstanding group. So I wouldn't be cynical. I think the people will make good choices. Those that come out and decide to vote, I think, will be because they're interested in change, and I think we shouldn't be giving all the reasons why not. And if for some reason we don't like the people and the result of what they do, we just say no at the polls. It's worth the shot.
So what do you think the chances are of us having a constitutional convention after 40 years?
No idea. Maybe 50-50.
Okay.
It depends whether people are upset enough or passive in changing this corruption of culture we have.
Right. Do you feel that it's not getting any better this session?
Well, I think it's early. I must say I've been very encouraged on my radio show, Effective NY. Not as good a radio show as yours, Cynthia. When I have asked guests, and they range from Carl Paladino to certain Republican and Democratic state senators and assemblymen like Brian Kolb, there seems to be some real support from local legislators. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll get support. Cuomo says he's for it. The question really comes down to if we don't have the money to plan for it, it will hurt the chances of a well-run, thoughtful convention.
So you have a year, a little over a year, to get this message out. And
right.
You and Morgan have been working tirelessly on this. So if somebody wants to learn more about it, wants to be a spokesperson for this in their community, how can they do so?
Well, what we are doing but won't release probably 90 days is a cutting-edge constitutional convention website that will have all sorts of fascinating information and possible amendments on it. Right now, if you go to NY Constitution and look for a Citizens Committee for an Effective Constitution on the web, you will see work that Brian Kolb, the Republican minority leader, Professor Gerald Benjamin, who's the statewide expert on this at SUNY New Paltz, and I have done historically. But the real campaign where people can learn about it, website, is 90 days off.
Oh, okay. And then it'll be up and running.
Up and running.
Okay. So in 90 days, I can have you back on and you can talk about your new website?
That would be my pleasure.
Okay, Bill. So one more thing. You mentioned your radio show. Plug it. What's going on with your radio show?
Well, every Sunday, we're on from 10 o'clock to 11. We focus on New York City and New York State. John Kazmatidis is on before us from 8:30 to 10. It's called Effective Radio. It's on AM 970. And we have a very interesting guest, Some are city council people. Some are state senators. We've had Mayor de Blasio on. And we've had national figures that have very interesting ideas. But our focus is on how do we improve New York, and it's really a show for political activists who want to be in tune with new ideas.
And it's streamed over the internet, correct?
Yep. You can iPod it. You can do everything else. And I have a very senior advisor who tells me how to do the show. I don't know if you know her. Name's Cynthia.
Me?
You, of course.
Thank you.
You do a wonderful job, Cynthia. I really applaud your efforts.
I really love doing this. It's great.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of fun. You have been listening to Bill Samuels, and he has been talking about a constitutional convention in New York State in 2017. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, or if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Bill, have a great day.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.